Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to do our best to complete this chapter, and we're going to expound verses 30 through 41, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this evening of worship and praise unto you, God. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. As we conclude chapter 4 and we read verses 30 through 41, we're going to come to particular scriptures that talk about the faith that the apostles had at this time when they were on the boat and when a storm rose up. And for some of us that were there in Capernaum last year, or this year actually in April, we got a glimpse of what a storm looked like, and then the calm right after the storm. And so we're going to take a look to see this particular story. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 30, and let's all start reading the scriptures. And it reads, Then he said, To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? Verse 31. It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. Verse 32. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes a greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. Wow, that must be a big tree. Verse 33. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Praise God. Jesus didn't leave them in the dark. Amen. Verse 35. And on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, Let us cross over to the other side. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Uh-oh, this looks like peril here. Verse 38, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What? Perishing. Verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. What? Verse 40. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And this is where I got my topic tonight. O ye of little faith. And verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wow. Little did they know that in the midst was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How would you have loved to have been in his presence at that moment? My goodness. So let's go through this study tonight and allow the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us. Let's look at verse 30. Then he said, To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? Saints, Jesus prepared again to explain the kingdom of God in a story. He always painted a picture. No one story could completely describe God's kingdom in all of its aspects. So Jesus employed several of them. The crowds and even some of the disciples were expecting the Messiah to be a political leader and one who would free them from the tyranny of Rome. But see, God a whole different way. He came through the back door, I like to say. Meaning, they were praying for a king to rise up to overthrow Rome because Rome had their necks in a noose. They were bound to the tyranny of Caesar. So they were looking for a political leader, a Messiah who would free them from Rome. The only kingdom that they could picture was an earthly one. They had no clue that Jesus came to bring the kingdom of heaven upon them. So Jesus attempted to clarify his kingdom even further with them. So let's look at verse 31 and 32 now. It goes on to say, it is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Saints, in this story, Jesus stressed that the kingdom would have a small beginning. Indeed, it did. Just recall when you first got saved. I recall 30 years later that no one in my family was saved. And I got saved, and how your one life, at that very moment, how God used you to spread the kingdom of God, first amongst your family, then your friends, and then your co-workers, and then all the influence of your life. But it started out just with you. You were that little seed that someone planted in your heart. And years later, it came to fruition when God knocked on your heart and says, now come and follow me. My. When you start getting a hold of this, you'll find out that all of us were little tiny seeds at first. And so, it began with Jesus alone, then upon his ascension, was left in the care of the 12 apostles and a few hundred other followers. And Jesus compared this beginning to the mustard seed, which was the smallest seed a farmer used. The mustard seed was so small that it would take almost 20,000 seeds to make 1 ounce. As I shared this before, you know, I say it in a kidding way, but it's smaller than a pulga. It's smaller than a flea. From this very tiny seed would grow a large shrub and then into a tree. And all the herbs and the farmers would plant this garden. Now, this is mind-blowing here because it starts off with this tiny, tiny little seed. Look, that's how small it is. You see that? It's tiny, isn't it? Look. That's right, and we're tiny. If you were to go to the Empire State Building and look down upon us, we're tiny just from that view, aren't we? Yeah. But what about the King of Glory that's in the third heaven? Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at this. That came from that seed. My goodness. That tiny little seed came this tree right here where the birds can come and nestle underneath it. Wow. Wow, this is mind-blowing. Saints, a mustard shrub could grow 10 to 12 feet in just a few weeks. Just a few weeks. That's how fast this little seed grows. This is why when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and God has transformed your life, you will run and tell others and watch others come to Christ, and all of a sudden the growth starts to take place just from your life. And so, God's kingdom is no different than this, what you see right here on this screen right here. Christ's second coming, it will overpower the entire earth and rule the supremely forever. So when Jesus come, he's coming full bloom. And we will all be changed and we will be like him. You see, that little tiny seed then became power. Power for you and I. Listen, without the Holy Spirit, we would be men most miserable. But because of the power allows us to reach the world. I'm talking about the sphere of influence in your life, your world. You and I have worlds of our own. Did you know that? There's people on your job I will never meet probably in my life. There's people in my life that you will probably never meet in your life. But we have our own what? Sphere of influence. Amen. We have our own world. God has placed this tiny seed here on this earth so that we would bloom and blossom. Can I get an amen? What a blessing. What a blessing. And so, the Bible says, but you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Wow. You see, God had to use us. Use us. Did you know, how many believe that God is using you right now? Huh? Is he using you right now? He's used you the day he breathed his rhema in you. That's right. That's right. For those of you that attended my father's farewell ceremony, and I praise God for you that came, I put a photo up there when he came out of the water, when he was baptized in 2005, and the joy of the Lord was upon him. That alone was a witness to everyone that came that morning. Because I had family from the Filipino side, I had family from the Mexican side, and a lot of them didn't know his story. But out of his life, I believe there was five or six that gave their hands to the Lord that morning. You see how it works? That's how it works. That's how God uses us. Look at this in Acts 17, 5, 6. God is going to continue to use you and I. And guess what? Your world will be turned upside down. What do I mean by that? In a good way. People that were going about their life. Hallelujah. And when you get in contact with them, when you approach them, when you come into their life will change. You will have a significance. You will make a difference in their life. Why? Because of what the Bible says. Look at this. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Why were they mad? Because they were preaching Christ and him crucified. They were preaching the gospel. And these people didn't have a clue what was going on. And they were turning the world upside down right before them. Look what it says here. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Let me just ask you this. The people in your life, when they see you, are they saying the same thing? Man, these people are turning the world upside down. But it should be a positive thing. There should be a testimony of people that you've grown with, that you were raised with, that you co-labored with on the job, in school. And now that you're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, you should be now turning their world upside down for the cause of Christ. Saints, for the disciples and for us, this story meant that size or relative power does not indicate final results. God's kingdom would take root and grow across the world through the years. This would be no political coup. This is not political. Throw the political stuff outside. This is about the power of God to change someone's heart from darkness into what? His marvelous light. making a difference in people's lives and preparing them for the life to come in God's eternal kingdom. How many believe that God's kingdom is eternal? Amen. So let's go back now to chapter 4 and verse 33 and 34. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. You see, this is the blessing that you and I have. You know what that blessing is? Is God doesn't leave us in the dark. God will teach us what it means and what it says in his word. Can I get amen? Why? Because God will give his ears to hear and eyes to see. I've heard this so many times that, oh, I read the Bible. I read it. I'm talking about unbelievers. Yeah, I read the Bible. And yet they don't comprehend. They don't understand. Why? Because they are spiritually blind and they're spiritually deaf. And until God quickens them to hear and to see, all it is ink on pages to them. That's all it is. But for us, it's life and power and exhortation. Hallelujah. That's what God does for us. Can I get amen? Saints, Mark, he made it clear that he did not record all of Jesus' stories. There were just too many. John said all the things that Jesus did, he didn't have enough books in the world to contain it. My goodness. So we got a glimpse of the four Gospels. There were just too many. And Jesus adapted his methods to his audience's ability and desire to understand. He didn't speak in stories to confuse people, but to challenge sincere seekers to discover the meaning of his words. And that's what he put in us to be Bereans. Can I get amen? To search the scriptures. To know more of him. Saints, Jesus spoke in stories to all the crowds that surrounded him at the time. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained the meaning to them. Hallelujah. The disciples here are specifically the 12. And as we read the epistles of Paul and we read the New Testament, God answers a lot of the questions that sometimes we read. How many can truly believe that when you were first saved, that it was kind of a mystery? It was like, okay, God, teach me your ways. I need to understand this. Well, look what the Word of God says in Colossians. Paul wrote this, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Look at verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations but now has been revealed to who? His saints. It's been revealed to us. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? I remember back in the day when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, we had a big old Bible in our living room. It was about as big as a suitcase. And it had all kinds of coffee stains on top of it. And I remember I opened up the cover and I was about to just go through it. And my oldest sister, Liz, came and slammed the cover down. She says, don't touch that. I go, why? And she said, God is mad at us. Really? He's mad? What did we do? I don't know, but he's mad at us. Man, I never picked up a Bible until I got saved. But when I got saved, I found out that he loves me. That he died for me. You see, religion will steer you a whole different way. Look what it says in verse 27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles? That's who we are. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews. But all these now have been revealed to you and I. Praise God. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many can honestly say that Christ is your hope of glory? Come on. He's in us. He's the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And you know what blesses my heart? I see Christ working in you all mightily. That's the grace of God. That's God's mercy. Can I get an amen? So let's go back to Mark 35. Look at this. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." So obviously, they had to get from point A to point B. And in order to get there, remember, when all this took place, what we're reading, he was at the Sea of Galilee. So obviously, they had to get on a boat. And they had to sail across. Praise God. When we were there in Israel in April, we were in six large boats. And they tied the sides to one another. And we were like, just picture six boats side by side sailing across. And we were worshiping God. Right, Brother Angel? We were worshiping God. We were praising God. But when evening came in this story that we're reading, Jesus suggested that he and the disciples cross to the other side of the lake, that is, to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And the boat probably belonged to one of the fishermen in the group, most likely to Peter, because we all know Peter was a fisherman. For Peter to set sail in the evening was not unusual. Why? Because he was used to fishing at night. Fishing was best then, but storms usually came in the afternoon. I remember the storm when we got there to Capernaum. Man, I've been there many times. I never seen. Now it was taking me back to what I was reading, because we saw the waves, man. It would look like an ocean. And then within hours, it was calm and the birds were flying. It's like, oh my gosh, how did it go from storm to calmness just like that? Look at this. There's waves like that. And then, right where we, remember where we put our feet? Right there at that one end where we came, and there was like a, I believe that it was a Catholic church, and we got access to go to the backside of that church, and it was a beach right there at the Sea of Galilee. This is that spot. But this is when there's a storm. Wow. Now you know why they were fearful. They were about to perish in their minds. Look at this. And then when lightning comes, just imagine all that. They're seeing lightning. They're being tossed to and fro. And we just read, Jesus' head was on a pillow. My, my, my. That was an awesome drawing that I found. This is when he told, remember, this is another story that we'll read later on. When Jesus walked on the water and told Peter to come. Let me ask you this. If he told you to step off the boat, would you step off the boat? Guess what? Peter was walking on water until he took his eyes off of him. And so, when Jesus finished speaking, the disciples pulled up to the anchor and set sail. Jesus' ministry was never without purpose. Can I get an amen? There was purpose everywhere, everything he said, everything he did. There was purpose. He was crossing over the sea in order to enter a new area of ministry. Along the way, the disciples would be taught an unforgettable lesson, saints, about his power. So, there's one more photo there of just when it gets turbulent out there. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and all the little boats were also with him. So, you got to picture this. They're in this little boat. We saw what the little boats looked like. And then there were a whole bunch of them following him across to get to the east side. So a few people in the crowd probably expected Jesus to come ashore to offer more healing or teaching. But Jesus, human as he was, did you know that he was 100% man and 100% God? He was the God-man. So guess what? He tired in his flesh too. So he probably needed to go and get rest. So he left the crowds behind when the boat set sail. Now, saints, the detail that other boats followed is recorded only in Mark. So we're only going to catch this in Mark here. It's not in Luke. It's not in Matthew. It's not in John. And perhaps from Peter, who sailed the boat, had to watch all these other boats that were made all the way to the other side of that lake. Now, how many know who Josephus is? Okay, Josephus is a Jewish historian. Now, a lot of the things he saw as an eyewitness, now I know he's not mentioned in the Word of God, but many times, let's just say if you're going to go to trial, you would try to get as many witnesses, can I get an amen, of the scene, of the story. So he's just another witness outside of the Word of God, but he's very credible. Josephus is very credible. He's an ancient historian. And he wrote that there were usually more than 300 fishing boats on the Sea of Galilee at one time. So just imagine how many came. And the other boats accompanying Jesus may have been filled with persistent followers. I think after they saw what Jesus was doing, I'd follow him too. Just imagine if he raised your dead little girl from the dead. You think you would follow him? I think so, wouldn't you? Or maybe you were blind all your life, and then now you can see. I think you would follow him, wouldn't you? Well, for me, I could only speak of me. When he set me free from dope, from drugs, from womanizing, from all kinds of manner of iniquity, this is why my heart is bent toward him, to follow him. Can I get an amen? I am a thankful and grateful brother. I remember that old life. I remember that life of iniquity. I remember that life of darkness. But praise God, I'm always going to remember how he set me free. We just sung that song today. Whom the Son sets free, what? Is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. My goodness. That song still resonates in my heart. Now look at this. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Whoa. Saints, the Sea of Galilee is an unusual body of water. We've been there. We've seen it. It is relatively small, 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. But it is 150 feet deep. What? Yeah, it's deep. And the shoreline is about 680 feet below sea level. So just imagine, here you are standing on the shore, and yet the world around you, you are 680 feet lower than sea level. That's mind-blowing to understand that. That's like if you go to Mission Bay, and someone digs a hole and drops you down 680 feet. That's where the Sea of Galilee, that's how low it is in the ground. But yet you couldn't, it's hard to fathom that. But that's the geographics of it. And so, because it is below sea level and surrounded by mountains, it is susceptible to sudden storms, meaning a storm will just come out of nowhere. Why? Because it's so low. So when winds come and everything comes, boom, here comes a storm. So winds sweeping across the land come up over the mountains and creating downdrafts over the lake. Combined with a thunderstorm that appears suddenly over the surrounding mountains, the water stirs into violently 20-foot waves. Oh my gosh. Saints, the disciples had not foolishly set out in a storm. They never did. But Jesus said, we must go. So they just followed the master. Can I get amen? Listen, I'm here to let us know, sometimes God will lead you to a storm, to walk through a storm. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we need to learn a lesson in life. Sometimes there's things in us that God has to show us. I got to get this junk out of you, and you got to go through a storm first so I can teach you something. Hallelujah. And so even though several of these men were expert fishermen and knew how to handle a boat, they had been caught without warning by this fierce storm. Their peril was real. And they battled huge waves that nearly swamped their vessel. They never go out. They never go out to fish in a storm. But they were following Jesus. You gotta catch this. They were following the Master. Listen, if Jesus came to you in a dream or a vision and says, I need you to keep following me and trusting me because you're about to go into a storm of your life, what are you going to tell him? No, Lord, I'll go through it all by myself. We're going to cling on to what? We're going to cling on and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Can I get amen? So look at this in verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Just imagine, 20-foot waves. Whoom, whoom. Man, I'm telling you, I could be on a small little boat in the bay and it's just barely going like this, and I'm already calling for Earl. Earl, I get seasick right away. Just imagine this and like that. And Jesus was just resting. Wow. My goodness. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I need you to get a hold of that for a moment. Here they are, thinking they're going to die. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the midst of them. In the midst of them. You see, you and I can go through treacherous storms of life, and we forget that Jesus is right with us. How many times have you gone through so many harsh things in life? Whether you did it to yourself, whether others did it unto you, or they just came out of nowhere and the enemy set a trap. Because it's either you allowing it to happen to you because of your own faults, my own faults, or someone has done this unto you, or the enemy has come. There's only three ways that they come from. Many of us have been there, huh? Oh, yes. And so while this was happening, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat. He was, I'm asleep. How Jesus could sleep during this storm indicates complete exhaustion and reveals his human nature. That's one perspective. That the noise, the violent rocking of the boat, and the cold spray of water didn't awaken him to give us a glimpse of the physical drain on Jesus throughout. Remember, he was exhausted. I want to go there. I want to go rest. You see, saints, the disciples had embarked on his journey at Jesus' request after a long day. Just imagine, he was healing the blind. He was healing the lame. He was raising the dead. He was feeding 5,000. All these things he probably did in one day. And says, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to go have some rest. Take me to the other side. They were probably tired too, the disciples. But they had set sail anyways. Then all the things a storm blew in, one that was threatening to sink the boat and drown them all. And Jesus was sleeping through it all. Wow. Let me ask you this. Reading this story, do you think for one second that Jesus didn't care about them? You would think, well, man, Lord, these people are crying out for their lives. And you just like catching your Z's. They woke him and asked, Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown? You see, you and I have to understand that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In other words, I don't care what we're going to go through in life, He will bring peace to our storms. He will calm the storm. And even though the storm rages, and a lot of times we don't see the big picture, we only look through a tiny peephole. But yet, God wants us to look at the whole entire picture to let you see what He's doing in your life. And guess what He's doing? He's molding and shaping us. We're all on the potter's wheel. And there's some things, as He's spinning that potter's wheel, He's lopping things off that sometimes hurt. But that's not fair, Lord. Did you see what they did? Yeah, I did. I got to lop that hurt off. Bam. But God, that's not fair. They took away half of my check. That's okay. I got to lop some of that off right now. You see, God knows everything that we will face in life. Nothing goes by Him. Can I get an amen? Yeah, Jesus was asleep, but He understood that they weren't going to die. You got to know that no matter what you're going through, He has allowed you to go through. Because when you get to the other side of this storm, He's going to get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, and He will give you the peace that you need and the rest. Look at this. Look what it says right here in John. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace. That's why the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. He came to give us peace beyond all understanding. In the world, you will have tribulation. We're not exempt from trouble. I hope you know that already, right? How many squabbles, how many family squabbles and outside of your family squabbles and things that have risen up that cause you to get so angry and so frustrated? But He says, in the world, you'll have tribulation. You know, having a squabble, especially to people that you love, that's close to you, that's more tribulation in your life than somebody that's outside of your life. Did you know that? The ones that are closest to you can bring the most turmoil in your life. But He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I hope you receive something out of this message tonight. Look at this. And Paul wrote to the Roman church, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Man, we, as soon as we go into something that, oh man, I don't like this situation, we want to get out of it right away, don't we? Oh, come on, we're all like that. The Word of God saying, be patient. In other words, learn something from it. God's teaching us something. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Why? Because God has it all under control. You got to know that God's in total control of our lives. Can I get amen? Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians. What a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, and the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. So picture these guys rocking. They know better not to go out when there's a storm, and yet in the midst, in the middle of that lake, a storm came out of nowhere. But God is saying here, He's the one so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. And why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them this same help and comfort God has given us. Did you catch that? After we've learned something, we can teach others to be patient and to wait on God and to allow God to do the miraculous in their life. Can I get amen? Look at this in verse 5. You can be sure that the more we undergo sufferings for Christ, the more he will shower us with his comfort and encouragement. Those troubling times are going to come. You can't prevent them from coming. Can I get amen? We live in a fallen world. We still live in a body of sin. We still live around sinners that are sinful, very sinful. The kingdom of God spiritually is here, but he hasn't renovated this earth yet. And he hasn't given us the new body yet. So we must endure waiting patiently for the change to come. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that new body? This one's starting not to work anymore. I need that new one. But I'm waiting patiently. I'm waiting on God. Look at this. We are in deep trouble for bringing you God's comfort and salvation. But in our trouble, God has comforted us. And this too, to help you, to show you from our personal experience how God will tenderly comfort you when you undergo these same sufferings. He will give you the strength to endure. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know? I don't care what we're going to face in life. He will be there to strengthen us, to encourage us. Amen? This is what it says in Hebrews. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Listen, I don't care. I don't care how harsh your trial is. If God is with you, who can be against you? Can I get amen? Amen? This is why we can boldly go through these things. Okay, Lord, thank you, God. I know you're with me. Yeah, Lord, this stings. Yeah, Lord, this hurts. Yeah, they said this, God. Yeah, you know what? I did it to myself, God. Yeah, forgive me, God. We go through these things in life. But you got to know, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us through the whole Our whole entire life, from the moment we opened our eyes to the moment he closes our eyes. He's with us. He's with us. Verse 39. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I don't know how many trials I went through in life so far. And I've seen God's mighty hand. God's mighty hand calm the storm. Calm the storm. I got to share this with you. It's real brief. And some of you already know this story, but maybe some of you've never heard this story. So let it go on the record as giving God glory and honor and praise. Look at that little cutie. Hallelujah. Hi, Genesis. Listen, I had just got saved. I was so excited, man, that I was saved. And I remember I went and bought a brand new van. It was a 1990 Chevy van. I won't forget. I got saved in 89. And so I bought that van to go pick up souls. I'm telling you, all that was on my mind was pick up souls to go get them saved by God. Can I get amen? I was attending North Park Apostolic Church. And on Sunday night, it was praise and testimony. You either had a song to sing or you had a testimony, but you couldn't give both. And so I had a testimony. Well, what happened was Saturday morning, I went to All-American Car Wash on Plaza Boulevard. I think you guys all know where that car wash is. It's on Euclid and Plaza Boulevard. So here I am, man. I'm getting my van clean, man. And there was one of my older brother friends, G, Brother G's friend, Lewis Davis. He was on our men's flag football league. We knew him since high school. And he was there washing cars, you know. And, man, I couldn't wait to tell him about Jesus. I pulled him aside like if we were talking about my car, you missed a spot. But I was just saying, hey, Lou, so good to see you, man. I go, would you like to come visit my church? I was just bold. I didn't care. Whoever I encountered, I wanted to bring them to church. I shared the gospel with him. I go, come on, Lou. Sunday night, I want to pick you and Wendy and all the kids up. He goes, okay, just come over. Here's my address. So Sunday night rolled. The next day, Sunday night rolled. Here I am. I'm going down Plaza Boulevard. I make a left, going down D. And I'm looking for his address, and there it was. It was an apartment on the right-hand side, and I pulled in, and I didn't even bother to look to the left. As soon as I got out of my van, there must have been 30 homeboys across the street partying. As soon as I got out, orale, S.M., where you from, S.M.? I said, hey, man, I'm here to pick up a friend. We're going to church. And then I kept hearing this one guy, man, orale, fat boy, you shouldn't be in our barrio, S.M. And I just went up, and I go, kept knocking. Lou, open the door. Open the door, Lou. He opened the door. I went in. I go, Lou, who are these guys out here? He goes, oh, man. Those are the insane boys of National City. I said, what? Insane boys? I go, well, come on, let's go. I came to pick you guys all. Go to church with me. I'm sorry, man. Wendy's not feeling good, and I'm not going to go. I said, all right, well, can you walk with me out there so I could get in my van? He goes, no, man, when they're partying out there, we don't go out there. And I looked out the window. There was a good six of them now leaning on my van. I said, Lou, let me use your phone, man. He goes, we don't have a phone. I said, oh, man, what am I going to do? I just wanted to get back to church. And so I gave him a hug. I went down the steps, and I walked up to the van. And as soon as I got close to the van, they surrounded me. A good five of them surrounded me, and the one guy that kept calling me fat boy came right into my face and said, oh, Lance, where do you think you're going? I said, I'm going to church, man. I go, I'm going to get in my van. And he had a Pendleton on like this, and it was open. I could see a silver piece right there. And obviously, these guys, when I heard about who they were later, these guys were murderers, killers. I didn't know what to do. I was in the middle of my storm right there, a storm that came out of nowhere. I didn't know what to do. And here I am, faced right now. I could have just got shanked. And I closed my eyes. I heard God's voice clearly. I heard Jesus speak to me. He says, speak my name loud. I had to obey that voice. That was my only thing I had now. I didn't have my family. I didn't have Lewis Davis. It was just God's voice and his spirit in me. And I opened up my eyes and I said, Jesus, as loud as I could. And as soon as I yelled out his voice, that guy that was in my face, he turned like this. And I walked right by him. I got in my van, and I was gone. Hallelujah. I was gone. And I went to church that night. And I remember one of the deacons who was the MC for the night. He said, Brother Fee, you got a testimony? Because I was standing up. Everyone would stand up if they had a song or a testimony. And I was just standing back there waiting until my name was called. And I think I was the last one they called, because after you sing or share a testimony, you sit down. So I was in the back standing up waiting. I shared my testimony. Man, in that church, you could run the aisles. Man, the organ was going, wah, 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 wah. Man, and people were running the aisles, man, and I was running with them. I never ran before. I was running with them. Why? Because Jesus came and said, peace, be still. I don't care what storm you're in right now. God will rebuke the wind. God will rebuke the storm. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he will. He said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And why? Why did the sea and the wind obey Jesus? Right up here. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain when Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You should understand, saints, I don't care what you're going through. Jesus is with you, and he has all authority to rebuke your storm. The storm that you're in right now. Or maybe the storm he's allowing you to go into. And I don't care if you caused the storm and you did it to yourself. He'll teach you a lesson through that and still see you through it. Hallelujah. Because God does not take any glory on the death of his saints. Did you catch that? If you're dead, he can't get glory out of your life no more. He needs you, hallelujah, on this earth to be a mouthpiece. Hallelujah, to be someone who will worship him and praise him, that you will lead someone to him. Can I get an amen? He can't use a dead person. He needs us. So this is why he takes care of us. This is why I don't care what you're into. I don't care what you're going into. I don't care what has happened to you. He will calm your storm so that he will get all the glory and honor. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Look what it says right here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. He's called you, saints, by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, he's given us authority too. Can I get an amen? So when you walk into a trial, when you're in the middle of something, God has given you the authority to rebuke it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Did you know that God loves to cover us? I hope you know that. He don't expose us. He covers us. Why? Because he wants all the glory from our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. That you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What? You need to get a hold of that. Because we were born and shapen and conceived in iniquity. In our mother's womb, we came forth in iniquity already. And yet, we're going to go through this world, and guess what's going to be left behind? The lust of... Thank you, Jesus. You got to get a hold of that. Because when we get that new body, hallelujah, it will have no more sin. Can I get an amen? We will be passed from this present life to the new one that's coming. Thank you, God. Nobody preaching that no more. We're going to continue to preach that change is coming. Can I get amen? You know, we're all looking for a political change. Keep on thinking. It's still going to be corrupt until Jesus comes. Can I get an amen? But the real change is when he changes this whole world. Hallelujah. He got to burn it up first and create all things new again. You see, saints, the disciples were shocked at the power of their teacher to speak and control the ocean waves. But they should not have been surprised. Why? Because they saw him raise the dead. They saw him feed 5,000 on a hill with a basket of fish and bread. Wow. So let's move on to verse 40. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" We need to ask ourselves that. When you go through a trial, when you go through a tribulation in your life, why are you so fearful? I heard a praise report, sister. That's right, Sister Barbara. You know Sister Barbara. I call her Mother in Zion. She went into the hospital with 80% what? Cancer. Doctor said now there's what? There's only 5% in her body. Hallelujah. One thing about her, I remember clear as day. The first time she went in that hospital, me and Sister Yolanda went looking for her, and we weren't going to give up till we found her. We went in her room, she wasn't there. And so we went down to x-ray, and she was right there next to be x-rayed. And as soon as we came to her little rolling bed, we laid hands on her, and she was weeping and crying, and she was praising God. That brought joy to me, to watch faith being displayed before us. She believed God. Hallelujah. You got to believe God in the midst of your storm, that he's able to deliver you. Can I get an amen? He asked, "Why are you so afraid? You still don't have faith in me? Is that what it is?" Listen, saints, for us today, tonight, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Can I get amen? You got to believe that. You also got to believe, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Man, we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. So you got to understand the deity of Christ. He is just not a figment of your imagination. He was just not someone that was ancient of old. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? And when you come across other denominations that try to defy who he is, when you show them this next verse of scripture, the scripture speaks of God all by itself. Can I get amen? Because it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and he was received up in glory." He was God all by himself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many are so blessed to know that if God is with you, who can be against you? And we close, perfect timing, we close with verse 41. "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Who can he be? Saints, you got to ask this question. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a genie that you rub on a lamp? Is he Santa Claus that comes around just in December? Who is Jesus to you? Huh? Is he just a name? Well, everyone else that I know in Christianity, believes in him? Or have you entered into a true relationship with the living God? Huh? I'll tell you, preacher's Sunday message last Sunday, Evangelist Felipe Reyes, that was an extraordinary message. And that's to get past all the junk in our life, to get where the mercy seat is in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I went home and God's Spirit was still all over me. Why? Because for some of us, I can't speak for all, we had another true encounter with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'm here to let us know that no matter what you're going through, God is able to speak to your storm. He's able to rebuke the thing that right now plagues you. Sometimes it baffles you. Sometimes we could be like this innocent child right now, and we can just cry like this little baby. Huh? Babies like that, they naturally do that. They want to be held. They want to be touched. They want to know that they're loved. Sometimes they need to be fed, and sometimes they need to be changed. Well, guess what? We're no different from this little child. We're just big children. And guess what? Sometimes God has to change our diapers too. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this chapter, chapter 4 of Mark. And Lord, next week we'll embark with chapter 5. But Lord, thank you, Lord. I just read, God, that we are to be thankful in all things, the good times and the bad times, when there's peace in our life and then when there's turmoil in our life. We have to understand that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And there are times, God, I know, when we disobey you, you take us into the whooping shed. And you have to discipline us. We get that, God. I'm thankful that you discipline me. Because without your discipline, that lets me know that I'm not your child. But because you're my Father, you're our Father, sometimes you have to straighten us out. But God, thank you for the peace. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the trials. Thank you, Lord, for when the abundance of finances come. And thank you when there's not a penny left in the pocket. Thank you. We thank you, God. Because we know, Lord, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so, Lord, bless the saints that came out tonight. And I know, God, that this night, tonight, the majority of those who celebrate this day, a lot of them don't know you. Have mercy, God. Have mercy, Lord. Because we were no different at one time. We can't judge them and condemn them. We could just pray for them, God, that you would do the same miraculous work in their life like you have done for us. So, Lord, would you be glorified and magnified and high and lifted up, oh God, that we would bless your name always, always and forevermore, God. And I'm praying for someone that maybe they don't know who you are. Maybe they've never entered into a relationship with you. I'm praying right now, God, that you would speak to them no differently than how you spoke to your disciples when they were in the storm. And if you're here or listening to this message and you've never given your heart to Jesus, God is speaking to you right now. You might be in a storm. You might be in a situation where right now you can't even see past the next 5 minutes. Oh God, would you calm the storms in people's lives right now? Would you calm our storm? Would you help us go through, God? And so if that's you, pray this simple prayer by faith and ask God. Ask God to do a work in your life right now. Pray this prayer, saints. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. Lord Jesus, help me through my trials. Help me through my troubles, God. Help me through situations of life, God, that sometimes I find myself in. Lord Jesus, forgive me when I do that to myself. Oh God, give me a heart to forgive others when they do that to us, when they violate us. And God, thank you for even leading us to a storm and through a storm. That when you calm the storm, we'll have known it was best for us to have learned something from it. Oh God, take away our judgmental spirit. Give us a heart like you, God. Give us eyes of grace and give us a gentle voice, God. Let us always be a voice of comfort. And praise unto you. But now I'm praying for those who've never given their life to you. I pray that you would pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Give them praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Thank you.